Russ's Tool Shed.
Hello, Tampa! How you guys doing? You want a Code Monkey? There you go. Xamarin shirts. We got Ray Gun shirts. Yeah, baby. Back row, can I make it? Let's see if that baseball arm still works. And I'm right. One more. Way in the back. Oh, there we go. Up and more. Keep up, keep it up, keep it up. There we go. There you go. All right, thanks, everybody. That was great. So let's go ahead and get started with the session on improving app quality. My name is Russ Fastino, MVP, as well as former evangelist for Microsoft and Xamarin and Raygun and Component One, and publisher of several apps, including most recently the Jethro Tull app. And that's what I based this experience on for this session, are some of the challenges that I had in publishing this app as far as really improving the app quality. So how do you do this? Before I do this, you can take a picture of this slide. In fact, I'll dim the lights a little bit so you can see this better, this where the goods are. Okay, the top link is the PowerPoint on Bitly. And then the code, I share the code for the example I'm going to do with dependency injection and Xamarin Forms in as part of today's session. And it's all wired up with instrumentation for error reporting. All right, so it's going to be some really good stuff in there. So this is up on OneDrive. You'll actually see a few more demo zip files up there as well. And the PowerPoint's up on SlideShare. So that's the URL for that. Anybody still need that? We're good? Or I'll wait to go ahead and get that picture of that. All right, now we're good? All right, here we go. So how do you improve app quality? Well, you find bugs right before your users do. Isn't that the truth, right? If you can go ahead and find those bugs before your users do, they'll never know that they had bugs to begin with, right? And this is how you try to stay ahead of the game. You know, that's really the bottom line here, is you always want to improve this aspect of your application. And why is this important? Well, common error reporting, you know, for many platforms and languages, this is an important thing. This is why I you know, actually started doing these apps in production. How do I go about getting started, right? These were questions that I had. I kind of took notes as I went along building the app. So the first thing is I got C# and I got some JavaScript, so I need something that works between those, right? And so that you need something that grows across all the platforms. And then also, you know, need more help in analyzing errors in you know, what the cause is. This was useful, very useful, in the development part cycle of my project, right? When I'm doing development work, the more information I have to resolve these things, the better. And then it's even more important, right, when it comes to production work, you want to know what any errors are, right, that you might have there. So I need to know how well, you know, my apps are working in production. I'm going to take one picture before I forget it and then go ahead and give my camera to my brother here. This is my brother Gary, everybody. Give it up for him. Thanks for helping out with the AV stuff here today, Gary. Appreciate it. And, you know, when I first pushed the app up to Android and iOS, this was my first Android and iOS app. It was a marquee application, Jethro Tull. And then I couldn't pick a simple game or something like that to test the waters with, right? I had to go up there. So I was really shaking in my boots, and I really wanted to make sure this app was performing well, you know, when I released it to the wild. And if somebody's having a problem halfway around the world, I want to know about it. And this is the kind of the mindset that I had in building this app. And if it crashes, I want to know about it and what the cause is. And then stack traces are great. Can I get these in production? Right? You see the stack traces a lot when you're debugging, but wouldn't it be nice to have that in production? And I needed more app-specific information on some of my errors. I was seeing groups of errors around two areas in my application. One was handling images, and the other one was internet connectivity. All right, those were the two big problems area I kind of noticed off the bat. And I'll show you what I did in my code to address some of that by using some customized tags. And then Raygun works for Xamarin, iOS and Android, but what about Xamarin Forms? My app is a Xamarin Forms app. How many people were in my session this morning? Show of hands. Just one or two of you? Okay, so how many people have ever used Xamarin here? Nobody else. Okay, so I'll spend a second on that as well once we get there. So the challenges, all right, we did all that. Basically, this is going to be the agenda here for today. I'm going to cover error reporting, some initial, how do you get initialized. I'll show you a dashboard for both test and production environments. We'll go through Xamarin dependency injection a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit more about the underpinnings of Xamarin, so you know it's fairly new to most people in here. Use of custom tags, affected user support is very big. You know, I've got an error. How many people are getting this, and who are they? You know, can I contact them? These are all things that, you know, come into play here, as well as talking to a JavaScript on an HTML page from my C# app. How do I go about doing that and have the tracking all part of it? Now let me ask a question here. Is anybody here using error reporting in their applications today here? Show of hands. One is, what two are. What are you using?
Apple's native error reporting.
Okay, so Apple's native error reporting. About you? No? Over here, I saw another hand go up. Somebody else? Anybody got like a roll your own type solution, maybe pumping it up to a web service or something like that? Well, these are things you want to consider, right, when you're building an application, is the fact that, you know, I want to be able to, you know, support my application in the best possible way that I can. Now, have you ever sent screenshots to anybody? Right, that's only part of the story, right? You know, you got to have the operating system, you have to have the version, you have to have, you know, what was the orientation of the device, perhaps, maybe? What was the memory on the you know, you got? Are you out of memory? You know, these are all questions that you need to have information for to help answer. Real-time notifications, this is huge. It saves time and money. You know, getting notified of an error quickly gives you more time to solve it before other users run across that same error. And, you know, retaining customers, converting trials, this is all important. You know that if you have an error that crashes, only 16% will even open it up a second time? That's quite a statistic. And the one that's on the screen is even more telling. Only 1% of your users will even tell you that something is wrong. And I think that's pretty consistent. I had probably 100 errors in Xamarin when I was developing, and I only put like one or two up on Bugzilla. And so I think that's a pretty accurate percentage. And I know Raygun, when I was doing some work with them, that was actually an actual number, in-house case that they had, a proof point that only 1% will actually tell you. So if you've got, you know, 10 people, that could be 1,000, right, that have that problem. Okay. Also, we have, if I only had a stack trace, man, put the hard hat on for that. You know, you want to have a stack trace, because that is gold. It's really gold, right? Especially when you are got an app in production, you want to see the chain of events that took place before that app crashed. And then what about error grouping? This is a very, very essential thing. If you have a web app, let's say, and you're running it in Italy, and another person's running it here in the U.S., the U.S. text message is going to be English, it's going to be Italian in Italy, right? And the text is actually physically different, but the underlying cause is the same. It's the same error. And so with the Raygun instrumentation, you can actually group errors by the real cause. It does that automatically for you. So that's another nice benefit of going with, you know, kind of an error reporting system like this. Bottom line, I need to improve my developer productivity and cost. So what about the Raygun platforms? Raygun platforms that are supported, you can see, are many. When I first saw this, it blew me away. Everything from Ruby on Rails. I was talking to some folks that are doing some Ruby on Rails development, C#, JavaScript, Windows apps, Xamarin apps, WordPress, they're all up here. There's a good number of languages that are supported. So how do you do initialization? Generally, it's just one line of code for the most part. If you take this example here, you see you've got you got a using statement, so technically that would be two, right? Going ahead and accessing the library, and you run download the information you need on NuGet, and then you install that to your project, and then the attach is basically all you need, the Raygun client.attach, and then your API key that you get on the portal when you create a application that you're going to feed data to. And that's pretty much it. In fact, I'm going to show you both live data from my test and production environments for Jethro Tull. And what you'll see there is just from that one line of code, pretty much that's all I had when I was doing testing. It wasn't until the last week of my testing that I actually incorporated more instrumentation with additional tags and custom tags in part as part of my solution. But you'll be amazed at all the information that I got just from that one line of code. It handles all unhandled errors, and any kind of error that comes up in your application, you'll get a report on it. All right. So this is an example of what the dashboard looks like. There's a 180-day retention period, which is great, so you can go back a ways to do your analysis. You can also zoom in. You can see right there, I'm zooming in on that portion of the month. And down here, that is the, those are the errors that you're actually seeing right there. So what I did was really brain dead simple, right, for test and production. I just put a conditional compilation in to say if it's debug, then I'm going to go ahead and use my test key. And if it's release, I'm going to use my production key. So I actually have two physical databases up on the cloud inside of Raygun. One that represents my testing environment, and then once you compile it to release mode and you ship it, that's got the production data in it. That's probably the cleanest way to go ahead and do it. So these are all tips of putting your app into production, what I went through. We do support more sophisticated builds, like Esteban went over. A couple sessions ago, sat on that. That was awesome. And so we do support, more complicated build scenarios. Also, Raygun has a really nice global dashboard. Anybody here, work for a solution provider? Okay, so this is a great, great thing for solution providers that do a lot of solutions. And you can see every one of those in one view of your dashboard. So you can see just right immediately which solution am I running that works the best, and what are the problems I'm having with the one that's not working. So that's the type of analysis that you can do there. That's also very useful just for, if you write a lot of apps or like a lot of different projects and you just want to see them all in one view as well. So a lot of good uses for that. We talked about grouping on errors. It really, it's the message that counts. And it's not the message that counts, it's the cause. And so what Raygun does is they will go ahead and use the stack trace data to do the grouping. That's how they get to the root of the cause, is they actually analyze the stack trace. So it's pretty slick. You know, the first time I saw Raygun, I was like, wow, this is very, very cool stuff. And to do error reporting like these guys do is amazing. They have a great back-end infrastructure. Your messages go up lickety-split within a matter of seconds. They are up there to the portal. So that's very important, too, because you want that iterative process, especially when you're doing development work, to get that kind of immediate response. Raygun does tend to err on the side of the error not being in the same group. So if there's any question at all, they'll keep them separate. However, in the dashboard, which we'll take a look at in a second, you will have access to all of the options in terms of filtering, in terms of, taking two messages and saying, hey, these are really the same thing. I'm going to group these together, and that sort of thing. So what about notifications? Well, what you see here is a really cool thing. So I have, first of all, there are options in how you can set this up, and I have the repeating error set checked. When you have a repeating error set checked, what it does here, you can see the first message came in at 9:50 p.m. in my email. And it says, okay, I got a new error. And then just a minute later, 9:51, you can see it. Oh, hey, it's still occurring. You got four in the last minute. Uh-oh, that's a little wake-up call, all right? You got something that's churning away, and it's causing some errors. You got another one up here, another notification 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, and then looks like almost 25 minutes later. And if you have an error, you will know about it. Just take a look at this example here that's in your email. Now, you could opt to say, okay, I just want to get a daily digest. I only want to see all my errors once a day. So that's, you don't have to get every repeating error that happens. But the nice thing even about this is the fact that I got five emails. I didn't get one email per instance of the error. It does batch them up in those segments. So you're not going to clutter your email with needless emails and start ignoring those things. So when you start seeing these, at least I pay attention. Then we get into affected user support. This is one of the newer features in the Raygun product, and this allows you to go ahead and you know, put a face, you know, with a name more or less, right? If you got a registration system in your application and you're capturing the email address, you can feed that into the Raygun client, and then when a user gets that error, you can go email them directly right from the Raygun dashboard and say, hey, you know, we got a fix coming out, or it's out already, just go ahead and apply your update. And imagine that, being proactive like that in some kind of a support area. So all these things really lended themselves to improved reporting. Setting up an affected user is pretty easy. You only have five properties. You have an identifier, which is unique to your system. So I generated a random GUID, and then I also prepended it with the email address if they had it, so it's something a little bit more English-like. So I used a combination of the two. So it's basically a GUID until they register, and then once they register, I'll change the identifier to be the one with the email. And then is anonymous. This is useful if you want to have them opt out of email support notifications, right? So you can set that true or false and use that accordingly. And then you got an email, and then the full name and the first name, and that's it. And then down here is an example of the code on setting something like that up with the user info. And so the stack trace, this is actually from a production stack trace. You can see it right here, very nicely formatted, color-coded. You can see really a wealth of information in your stack. This one here is a HTTP web request. And I mentioned this was one of the ones that I was having problems with that seemed to be coming up a lot. And you notice that it does say file name unknown in there. Sometimes you'll get a file name, sometimes you won't. Maybe you got to fish around for it a little bit. So this is an example where I started using customized tags in my app, and I kept track of, all right, what was the last link I called? What was the last web request I made? What was the last page I was on? Things like that will get you instant right results of knowing exactly what's wrong without even having to analyze something like this. But this is very, very useful. A lot of times it'll tell you the exact line number in the code that had a problem, what page it was on. So it really varies in terms of what you get, but that is very, very useful. And what about try-catch? In your application, first of all, you don't need try-catch for Raygun to pick up the errors. It handles unhandled errors. If you got anything unhandled, it'll go ahead and send it up. That's what happened when I was doing in my development work. I just had that one line of code to do the initialize, and then anytime I had an error, it automatically went up. But if you do a try-catch, then you can also experiment with, customized messages, right? And you can actually say, oh, okay, I'm going to customize this message with my own personal tag, with my own, you know, definition of what's going on in my app. So that's a pretty important thing. You can create your own subclasses of an exception to represent the state, as well as in my app, the places I focused on putting try-catch statements around were my troublesome areas, like the RSS feed I had for the live Tull tour. I had problems with that. Sometimes it wasn't up like it should have been, and sometimes it wasn't up for a while. So I would want to know I would want to notify the webmaster for Jethro Tull, hey, there's an RSS feed problem. You know, maybe take a look at it. And actually, I did that a few times, and he said, thank you very much. Yeah, I had to reboot the server, you know, or something like that is what was going on. So then also I had problems navigating to other sites sometimes, with the exception on the web request. And then handling of images was another area that I typically had some problems with. Any questions so far? Okay, so this is what the custom tags look like. In fact, this is what the dashboard looks like in general. You have a summary area. You have error details on top. You have environment, custom tags, and raw data. This is actually showing the custom tags. And right down over here, you can see this particular error was my RSS feed. That's the Jethro Tull RSS feed. So I captured that as the last URL. And then also a custom message is RSS feed down contact, and I have his web address, his email address as part of the message, and then, you know, webmaster for Jethro Tull. So that's my customized message that I put together for that scenario. And I'm going to show you all this in the code in a minute here. So the final step was to take, I've got a registration system, and I actually have a widget that I use on an HTML page to subscribe to a newsletter in the app. And that's got some JavaScript on it to accept a parameter, which would be the email address for, you know, affected user support, right? And how do I pass that? Well, And it's just a little bit of trickery. No, C-sharp is pretty straightforward. I actually have a web view control, so I set the source to the page, and then I pass in a parameter for the user email, and I append that. That's a variable at the end that appends the actual email. So that's the call right to the page, passing in that parameter. And then down below, in the script, I've got a function that gets parameter by name. It does a regex, basically, and replaces the parameters and comes up with a pair relationship between every parameter you're passing in and the value. And then all you do is reference that value name right down here. So user email equals get parameter by name, user email, and you're golden. And that's how you complete the cycle to pass off that information. And in that page, I also use the same key, right, for my application as I do in my C-sharp application. So now I've got two kinds of technologies. One is a C-sharp app, and the other is JavaScript. And they're really all considered part of the same application. And you can do that sort of thing with Raygun because it spans all those technologies. So whatever you consider to be an app is an app, even if it's more than one technology. Okay, so let's take a look at some demos. So first thing we'll show you is the dashboard. I'm going to bring up the, I've got two, I'll show you the test environment first. So here is a test environment. They had some, just to kind of give you an idea on the dashboard, you can go ahead and zoom in on a particular area of dates. And you can see right there, that was about 3 months ago. Here's a unexpected end of file XML exception. And this is basically doing a read of data coming back from the tour dates. And you can see right there is the tour date model. And I didn't put any code in that tour date page. This was all just captured with that one line of code I had mentioned, just the initialization code. So that gave me some good clues as to where to look in this application. And then you have error details. It gives you the version number. It tells you when it occurred, the class name, the message, right? It tells you line and position if appropriate. Also, it tells you over here what was the environment like. So you can see this one here. It is a, that's my Moto G, right? My little cell phone I was using. And it says what the available memory is right here. And it also says what's the total physical memory. So you can see if those are pretty close, your app is probably not the only app that's having problems on this device, right? Because you're just flat out of memory. And so that's another piece of the equation that you can help analyze is by taking a look at that. And then finally you have basically the raw data at the end, and these are the actual packets that go across. Raygun initially put this in to help them in building the product, but customers really liked it, so they kept it in. So you can see everything in one fell swoop, you know, what the actual environment is like, and then if you have any tags. And at this point in time, I didn't have tags. I just did the init, and that was it. So that is the, you know, the kind of the details you get from the reporting. You have the ability to change the status on this to resolve or ignore or permanently ignore. You also have the ability to go ahead and do a delete on that particular error. So you can just do a check mark here and then go and hit the delete button. And that does a hard delete. There's no way of getting that back at that point. But this is what you might want to do, especially if you have maybe sensitive data up there, because this is, you know, technically a third-party place for maybe information that you really want to retain in your environment, but you do want the error reporting. So you can always get the error, see it, and then do a hard delete, and it's not available anymore for anyone to get their hands on, okay? So that's a kind of a nice feature as well. Then what else we got? Well, affected user support, I'll show you in a minute. But basically, I'm going to switch over now to my production environment. And we'll take a look at this one web section right here. It's 5 days ago, and we're not doing too bad on the errors altogether. Really not many are being caused, which is really a good feeling. And so here we've got a HTTP web request, and there's no file names. And I got one affected user. So we can then go to the custom tags. Now, this is after putting in a little bit of instrumentation in my code, like we had talked about. So there it is, and those are, you know, the pages right there that, you know, I talked about where, okay, this, there's a problem with that RSS feed. And if you look at the data on the dashboard, you can actually see there was like 32 of these on one day. And that was a problem. And there was a server problem that he actually had that I alerted him to, and that got fixed right away. So now, I mean, the app didn't crash or anything. It just didn't show any data. And I actually got to put in an enhancement in the app to kind of cache that data. I'm just doing a live poll every time to always get the latest. But what I'll do now is in my try-catch, I'll probably, load up the most recently loaded list. You know, I can show that. Right now, it just shows, you know, the RSS feed is down. You know, check back later is what I got in there right now. So the good news is the app doesn't crash because I got the try-catch around it, and then I'm providing that data into my error reporting. So it's pretty good stuff in terms of what you're doing there for that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to switch over to my test account. And I have an app ready to go here, and this app is the, I've got a puzzle game here, this Ray Gun puzzle. And what you do when you set this up, you take a look at the properties for this puzzle, and what you can see here is basically the API key, right? So here's the API key. So what I would do is I'd copy that in, and then I show you where that gets initialized. So here's the code for the application, and I was going to actually show you a couple slides about what we're about to look at here, the structure of a Xamarin Forms application. So basically, this is it. Xamarin itself has a great portable class library and shared project structure approach to building applications for iOS, Android, and Windows. You do it all in C#. And basically, you just share that information across all of those projects. That's the platform itself. Now, what I did in my app was actually took that one step further, and I shared the user interface, and that's done through Xamarin Forms. So you can see the Android, iOS, and WinPhone layer there. That's got all my XAML and all my front-end code, and plus the back-end code. So I got, basically, now I'm up to about 95% shared code from 75% just using the platform, because all the UI stuff is also shared. So that's pretty much where we're at. And then what I'm going to actually show you is the structure of the project, and I want to show you basically what I used to call this with, which was dependency injection. So the structure of the project is this. You have three platform projects, Android, iOS, and Windows Phone, and then you have your PCL, which has got your front end, all the XAML or pages in your application. And what you can do then is instrument your code accordingly and initialize accordingly. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about this slide, but I'm going to actually hit the breakpoints in this live so you can see what's going on a little bit better. So in the portable class library is where you want to put in an interface. So it's just a public interface, and the interface just says what are the properties and methods. There's no code really to it. It just defines it. Once you have that set, then you can go over here, and in my registration page, I'm doing a call using that interface, the iRayGun interface, calling the affected user setup method, which is where? That's in the platform specific code. So that 5% that's platform specific, this is an example of what that would be, some kind of dependency injection. So it's going to pass through the PCL and it's going to hit the target platforms. And then you can actually see the code right over here. All right, so now I've got a affected user setup. I'm passing in the full name, the identifier. All the information is being passed in, and then I have the same type of thing going on in iOS. So each one has similar code, but that's where the work's being done, is in the platforms. You kind of follow that? So that's called dependency injection. It's kind of a proxy. It just passes right through and does it down below. So let's go ahead and fire this up, and I'll show you this live. So I've got app. I'm going to run it on this emulator I got running here. So when this comes up, this is a puzzle game, and the very first thing I'm going to do is register. So I've got my email and all that stuff put into the application. And this is part of the sample code link that I showed you, all the sample code you can download. And so now right there is the first step. So where am I? I'm in the main activity over in the Android project, and this is where I'm going to attach that key, right, that I copied from the portal. And that's very simple. That's the one line of code that gave me all that wealth of data when I first started using this and doing testing. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit this onStart method up in my portable class library. That's right over here, part of my PCL. And I'm going to pick up any settings I may have stored off. I've got a plugin I use from James Montanago over at Xamarin, one of the Xamarin DEs that keeps track of isolated storage, more or less, in your application. So I will store off the settings as the user provides them, and then I retrieve them every time I start up. Okay, and then I actually come down over here, and you can see I've got the settings I'm going to do, and I'm going to call this dependency service with this Raygun interface to affected user, and I'm going to pass in all those parameters. Now that interface, once again, it sits up in the PCL, and you can actually see it right here. So there it is, interface, and I've got two methods, affected user setup and then actually sending Raygun an error message. So that is what I use for this. I'm going to continue here, and then we're going to go ahead now and load up any of those values, which these will all be null going in, or default values. Now here's the puzzle. Right now I'm going to go ahead and register. So this is where I'm going to put in my email address. And this has got all the logic in it to determine a valid, you know, email through regex. That's a handy piece of code to download just for that. And then we got the Twitter. I'm going to add that in. And I'm going to register. So now I'm going to hit my code on the submit button, and I'm going to take out those values off of my text box and any other settings that I've got. I've got the user device coming in as well. This is going to be passed along. So I'm just going to head and continue through this. And I'm going to call this affected user setup now. This time I've got actual values in it as opposed to the very first time when I did not. So I have basically my full name, first name, all that stuff. Now I also captured a couple more things you noticed, right? The Twitter and the last name. So I'm also going to store those off as well. And because what I'm going to do is I'm going to use those in my send message, which is down here. Whenever I get an error, I'm going to take that Twitter and last name and also add those in as a custom tag. That's how you do custom tags I was telling you about. So on my Jethro Tull app, this is where I had the last page access, the last URL. This is how you do it right here. Just add a dictionary object and you can pass anything you want to help describe your app error a little bit better. All right, so let's go ahead and fire this up. And then now I'm going to, it says it's enabled, right? So now I've got all of my information entered, and now I can go ahead and play the game. So the game, basically, I can randomize these, but I'll just show you here. You slide one of these down, and you got to end up, you know, forming Raygun rocks after you've scrambled it, right? So here I've got the an error, because what I did was on this method, when you tap a square, I put in a divide by zero just so I can show you an error, okay? So it's going to call this error. You can't do that, and I'm going to go ahead and hit continue. Run it right through. Let's do one more, right? And we'll go ahead and continue. All right, now let's go ahead and close the app up. Let's go ahead and stop this from running. And let's go back out to the portal. And we'll go back out to the Raygun puzzle. And let's take, there it is, division by zero. Just happened two times. That's right. That's what we did. And there is the notification that, and it tells you exactly, you know, the page it happened and the line number, right, that was on. So that's very, very cool stuff. And look at this, affected user. This is the guy that had it, me. And down here, in fact, total instances, and, you know, who was impacted by this is always the biggest question. How many users had this error? And there you go. Hit next, just one user. And now that's affected user support. And up comes Russ Fostino. And now look at this. It's got the Facebook. It's got LinkedIn. I didn't enter that information. Reagan got some smarts in it to go ahead and pull that out based on your email. They got some package in there that does some kind of analysis like that. So now I can just go ahead and hit this up. And now that was probably a mistake because it's going to start Outlook, which is going to take forever. And this is going to basically send an email. And you can go ahead and fire up an email. So I'm going to cancel that right here. And here's the information about myself that we had entered in. And you can see it all listed here very nicely. There's my Hotmail ID. That's the LinkedIn. There's the actual error down below. And you can see this all went through in the custom data. All right, and here's my custom data that I added in was my own last name, remember? And I put in Russ Fostino as my Twitter. So that is what is actually being passed over custom, right, from my application. So very straightforward to do. So this is a pretty cool product all in all. The last piece I wanted to show you is the actual, when I go to call the page for the subscription, here's the HTML, what it looks like. And in this page, guess what? This is where I would put in that same API key right here and doing the init on the JavaScript side now. Isn't that cool? So now this whole thing is, looks like one application, and here's that function we talked about that does the pulls out the parameter, get the user email, and now I actually use that as part of my widget domain somewhere over here right there, the placeholder. So that's where I put that email right there. So that, you know, is the full circle of what's involved here. Any questions on any of this? Yeah.
You spoke of it handling all unhandled exceptions, but it looked like you had to put code in there to trap it. That's why I'm not getting the picture.
No, so that is correct. So the statement made was you said it handles all unhandled errors, but it looked like I had code in there to handle it. And yes and no. Okay, so unhandled errors, the only code you really need in an application is the initialization. And like I had in my test environment, all that was just from that one line of code. Later on, I wanted more information. So if you want more information than what's provided, that's where you would put custom tags in, for example. And then, you know, if you're really specific areas you want to know more information about, that's where you can use a try-catch to really give you that additional information. So it's really honing in on your problem areas in the application, and that's really what the thought process you go through, at least that I went through, putting this app into production. You know, I think this was our last major enhancement in the app before we published it, wasn't it? We put, and we... Right, so these are all things you got to consider: personal terms of information, all that you know that goes along with capturing that information. But it's all good, right? Because you want to be able to provide the best service you can, you know, with your application. So let me go back to the deck. We'll wrap it up with some summary slides then. And once again, these decks are all published up there, but I've got some of those third-party tools and the device and settings and all that kind of stuff. There's some plugins from James Montemanago up on GitHub. Affected user tracking, I got some good information up there on GitHub with the Mindscape is the owning company for Raygun. How to do tags, workflows, plugins, the Raygun blog, case studies, those are all available. So in summary, basically these were pretty much the order that I tackled a lot of questions I had and challenges I had along the way. Error reporting, getting a good idea of the value of it at first. And to me, I would never ever put an app into production now, knowing what I know, without some kind of instrumentation like this in your application. Initialization, very easy. It's really super easy to go ahead and wire this up in pretty much any application. It's just about one line of code. Dashboards I created separate, one for test, one for production. This way you've got clean views of your data. You know, everything that's in the test one is all test, but everything in production, that really counts. So that's a very clear and easy way to do that. We use Xamarin dependency injection. I think at some point Raygun is going to provide support directly for the PCL, and at that point it'll be like a regular plugin, like James Montemagno's plugin, where you don't have to use dependency injection. You can just call it directly right there in the PCL. So, but even now, it's not too bad having that code extracted in the native platforms. The last thing we just talked about, right? You want to identify the strategic areas in the code, and that's where I would recommend putting some more, you know, try catch statements in, or you will be surprised how many of these things you iron out when you're just testing your app, right? And you can see the problem areas that you're starting to run into. And I encourage like getting testing teams. That we had about 30 or so folks helping us out, bang away at the app, and I could see all the different results, you know, that were happening live with the error reporting in a testing environment. Use of custom tags is fantastic. You know, that is really the big value of something like this, because now I just go to the custom tags page and I could say, oh, yeah, it's a problem with the RSS feed. Okay, I'll email the webmaster. That's all I got to do. And it really makes it very, very simplified, that approach. And then the affected user support is huge. This really provides really great support for your users. And then we have finally ended up showing you how to combine technologies, basically using the same application key, and it's all good after that point. So I did want to end with this. Faustino Brothers, we do run monthly webinars, so take a look at those up on our meetup. Just look up Faustino Brothers Inc. on the meetup, and you'll come up with the page to register for them. And also my brother Gary does a real good job in keeping track of all of our past presentations. These are more business related, how YouTube fits into your business, or how Facebook fits into your business, or Twitter, or all that kind of stuff. So lots of really good content up there. I highly recommend taking a look at some of those past presentations. We just did one on how you edit videos live in YouTube using the tools that they have in YouTube. So that was kind of an interesting topic. Okay, and then some Twitter love. These are all the Twitters. Especially give a shout-out to Raygun.io. If you're doing some tweets, they really watch that kind of stuff, and they really enjoy hearing about it, especially that they are a sponsor for this code camp. Give them a round of applause for helping us out here. And they have a 30-day trial on the application, and the pricing ranges anywhere from $50 a month to $500, depending on number of apps and number of messages. So that's pretty much the pricing they got. But even the high-end one, I went into one solution provider. He just wanted to know what an unlimited plan would be, because, you got to think, what is your cost of support nowadays? It's astronomical. And that's like a drop in the bucket compared to, all the major support a lot of these large companies have. So this will help out tremendously in those type of scenarios. All right. And easy to connect with us. Just look up Faustino Brothers, and we are done. Thank you very much, everybody.
Really don't mind if you sit this one out. My words but a whisper, your deafness a shout. I may make you feel that I can't make you think. Your sperm's in the gutter, your love's in the sink. So your ride sails over the fields, and you make all your animal deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick the brick.